begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language.
You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Yeah, I'm back.
Welcome back to Discourse. I'm Morgan Nickel, big mouth dickhead from the internet with a mouthful of beer.
And I'm Dylan Reeve, largely unprepared.
I think everyone is unprepared this week, except the chat room. They know exactly what's going on. Maybe they can give us a few pointers. So I'm still feeling pie. I hope you're feeling pie, bro.
I'm feeling... I was going to say cucumber, but no, not quite.
Cucumber. Now, there was a lot of poisoning from cucumbers, wasn't there? Did it turn out to be cucumbers?
Well, I was feeling kiwi fruit.
Oh, dear. So you're full of some kind of bacteria and someone's been injecting antibiotics into your...
My wife's the one with the antibiotics. I'm fine. I'm not pie, but I'm maybe... Let's say sausage roll. I'm feeling sausage roll.
Oh, my God. That must be where it comes from. So that feeling pie as, I remember that was from a dream. I woke up thinking I'm feeling pie. It's car pie.
Okay.
Obviously. Why did it take so long for me to spot it?
Or it's just one of your favourite foods.
Could be. I haven't had a pie in time. I actually have frozen microwave pies in the freezer at the moment. You don't think I should?
No. go to a good bakery and get a nice chunky steak pie. Or
I like mince and cheese.
Really?
Yeah.
Pepper steak's my preferred pie.
Pepper steak. If I go to a petrol station. A servo, go to a BP and get one of those pepper steaks. That's a good bun.
Oh, no, they're awful. The kind
or
of
a stroganoff.
Oh, horrible.
Oh, delicious.
Oh, no. I didn't realise we would diverge so horribly on pies. I thought we'd have some sort of pie consensus between you and I.
Dave Dustin in the chat room, Big Ben pie for the win.
No.
Do you remember there was, I guess the Food Town in-house branded ones were made at the same factory as the Georgie pie ones.
They were.
And they were very, very cheap little things. They were, I guess they were about a dollar in both places.
Yep.
Those were bloody good. And I think you could get them for a little bit longer.
No, they carried on for a good couple of years after Georgie Pie ended.
Right.
But not anymore.
There keeps being rumours every now and then about the return of Georgie Pie. Seems unlikely to me, but...
The most recent thing I saw was an article from McDonald's, well, an article in the Herald, I think, quoting someone at McDonald's saying that they were continually looking into the idea. But that they didn't think it could come back in a way that people remember it, basically. That they couldn't really sell pies at the price that we expect the pies to be, and that they would not be what we remember.
Yeah. So you know, you get your pie from the servo. You get it out of the oven. It's probably been in there. It's probably been in there for hours. It's probably been in there all day. What must you always do?
Blow on it. I ruined it for you. Sorry.
Yeah, you did. You did.
Blow. Always.
You did. Blow. That was one of the peak moments of New Zealand television. That was when I think we got over the cultural cringe. Right then, it was when we learned to embrace our Kiwiness. I'm told by Justin Campbell in the chat room that Zed pies are the best. That's the that's a replacement for Shell.
Yeah, that's right. They got a company to make pies for them. They stopped buying. They used to stock Mrs. Max and stuff, I think, and then they actually got someone to make pies for their company.
Yeah.
But I haven't had one, so I'm not really about to start pie reviews.
Justin Campbell also mentions that Jester's pies aren't too bad. They're not pies. They're jaffles.
They're tasty, but they're also remarkably expensive for what they are.
Yeah.
I cringe every time I try and buy one because it's so expensive.
I had them while I was being a nasty, hardcore, mean old vegetarian, you know, a party-pooping vegetarian.
I remember the time.
I had those. And, I mean, they probably will turn out they had lard in the pastry or who knows what. But they had some kind of silver beet, maybe it's called the Popeye or something like that. It was pretty good.
Silver beet and cheese pie.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Ponsonby pies used to do a great cheese and silver beet.
Whatever happened to Ponsonby pies?
They still exist slightly somewhere.
Steak and tomato. Simple, simple. Seems simple, but delicious. Really good stuff. Okay, so there's no guest on the show this week, hence talking about pies.
Yeah, so that's the whole show is going to be devoted to pies.
And it's really been nice having you. Remember to rate and review the show on rate and review the show on iTunes, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Do you reckon I should push a button?
No, I don't know. What do you got?
Urban Dictionary word of the week.
That is too quiet.
And it's also, I thought we brought that back just once.
Yeah, no, I'm not really. Why is it so quiet? Oh, it's because this is way down there. Now you're probably going to be too loud. Would you just, would you say?
I'll try. Am I louder? What's happening?
Oh, I reckon you're probably, it's all good. Okay. It's all good. Great.
Urban Dictionary.
That's still quiet.
All right, you don't know what you're doing.
Don't have any idea. Haven't got the first clue. Oh, here's another button. Here's another button. There we go.
Discourse should hire an engineer.
Urban Dictionary, word of the week.
There you go.
That's much louder.
Yeah, maybe, possibly it's too loud. Possibly too loud. But I'm going to leave it where it is now. So, speaking of...
just to clarify.
What's that?
We're not playing the game, just to clarify.
You're all wrong.
We are not playing that. I should probably change all of the files in the soundboard. So, was that too loud, do you think, Dave Dustin, in the chat room?
He's added an exclamation mark. But just one, so...
All right, I'm going to turn it down a little bit, but I'm not even going to test it again because that's enough. So speaking of, you know, New Zealanders getting over the cultural cringe, it seems that there's a certain 44-year-old Kiwi lives in Australia, in New South Wales. Whereabouts? Griffith? I guess that's a town. He lost his fucking shit. He spat the dummy out. He threw all the toys out of the sandpit. After he saw a TV ad for a furniture shop that had kookaburras, of all things, putting on Kiwi as bro accents. And
oh, it's disgraceful.
I think he phoned them first and he threatened them. Lost his shit. He's been arrested and charged with misuse of a telecommunications device.
Good.
He also eventually went, I think, to the TV station. Maybe not actually to the store, which is weird. And he threatened them. And apparently he actually even assaulted someone. I don't know that that means he hit someone. I think he probably just was a bit roustabousty. That's not a word, but you know what I mean.
A bit pushy, a bit shovey.
Yeah, but I mean, I've watched this ad. It's no big deal. This dude, he's just got to get the fuck over it. New Zealanders have a fucked up accent. There is no getting away from that.
I wonder if I've not seen any Australians lose their shit over the Mitre 10 mega ad.
What's that?
It's the one with the kids in the sandpit.
I don't know. I haven't seen
it. Oh, you know, it's a great ad. It's fun.
Yeah, and so why would Australians lose their shit over
it? Because it plays on an Australian stereotype.
Oh, yeah. Do they have really high-pitched voices? They're a little bit whiny?
Yeah, well, they're all kids, so they all kind of do. But
oh, jeez!
Oh, I'm going to have to find it before you link it to you. But no, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's weird having kookaburras having a Kiwi accent, though. That doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make sense. It's senseless.
I guess that's just what they could draw.
Yeah, I suppose.
Pretty limited.
Australians, and that's all they learned to draw in drawing stuff school.
There are many ways in which Australia is better than New Zealand.
Name three.
They're paid more. They've got trams in some of their cities and comprehensive train networks.
All right. Okay. So you're at two.
And they have Kevin Long in the chat room saved my ass. Mineral wealth.
Mineral wealth. Excellent.
That's great for the man on the street. That's great. It's not mining fat cats. Not at all.
Oh, look, someone posted the ad already. I went to all this effort to find it, and it's already in the chat room if you want to watch it.
One way in which the Australians are not better than New Zealand is apparently in the work-life balance, where New Zealand has just topped a survey of, I don't even know how many countries, but it included
all of them.
Possibly all of them. 550 cities globally, at least. Don't know what countries that represents.
All of them.
Kiwis are the happiest workers, 74%.
Yep. How's your work-life balance?
But our productivity is 79%. And the Americans, who I think we think of as being a little bit slavish, frankly, not very much annual leave, not very much sick leave in general.
No, fucked employer. Fucked
terrible employment law.
Rights.
And their productivity is lower than ours. So all of that extra hard work and anguish.
But isn't
and they don't actually
lower than it should be?
I think it probably is. Yeah. Chinese productivity, 73%.
What was ours?
Australian and American, 77%, and New Zealand, 79%. So not a huge difference in terms of productivity.
More productive than the Chinese?
Yeah, yeah.
Even though they turn out iPhones at like a million.
More productive, and yet we're still happier than them because Australians are 66% happy.
And we're 75%?
74. And the Americans, 64%. And the English, 60%. I don't believe the English figure. I think it's probably much lower because those motherfuckers will just not stop crying about shit.
Oh, no, they wouldn't be.
We used to have an empire.
Used to be white people in the country.
Where'd it go? Where'd all these Polish people come from?
Yeah.
Love thy neighbour. Love thy neighbour.
And your work-life balance, Morgan?
My work-life balance is unbalanced. A little bit too much life at the moment.
Fair enough.
Not enough work on my own shit.
Since having kids, I'm always like, I don't really do overtime.
Mm.
Just, you know, I go home.
Well, the figures back you up. The figures say that basically all the time that you spend over 40 hours probably reduces the efficiency that you worked when you were working under 40 hours. That the longer you work, the
40,
the
kind of, say.
Yep, 40. 40's the, 40's the number.
I normally cap it at about 32.
I think I do 38.50 a week. 38.5, I mean. I think that's what my contract is.
Something like really? That. That's pretty good. Oh, I suppose you're working it
and
out.
And I think I get 5 weeks annual leave now.
Well, 5 weeks isn't bad.
Yeah. I'm pretty happy with that. I think it's probably should be higher though. But there was I reached a certain point in my contract that said I was going to get an additional week of annual leave.
And then at the same,
they didn't do that. At the same time as they offered that same increase to absolutely everyone.
Yeah, so you thought, right? I see. Yeah. So you should have got your one, and then everyone else's one as well.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Oh well,
didn't get that.
I think it's worth arguing about. You should take it up on Monday.
Can't be bothered.
Wednesday, Thursday.
Nah, can't be bothered.
Yeah, can't be bothered.
I don't use up all my leave anyway. Can't be bothered. I guess it's actually worth quite a bit of money though. A week's pay. That's a fair bit of ping.
Yes.
Yeah, might actually be worth moaning about. What do you say about $400? Did he just tell us how much big TV show pays you? I don't think you get paid $400 a week.
No, you're right. Sorry, not yet. One day.
something else as well as that extra week's annual leave that I didn't get. I also haven't got a Leap motion device. Did you see this thing?
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
It plugs into USB. Okay. No one knows exactly how it works, but it's probably legit because they've just got $12.5 million of funding. And it claims to, I think they describe it as it creates like a 4 cubic foot space and over the top of it. And so you put it in front of your monitor or in front of your laptop keyboard.
Yeah.
And it works a lot like, as Kawana in the chat room says, it works a lot like the Kinect, but it's upwards facing rather than forwards facing. And it's designed to work in a small space rather than in a whole living room.
All right, take my money.
I know. It's $70 US.
Oh, really?
$70.
Well, take my money. Honestly, wow, what can I do with it?
Well, you can control things on the screen
Can I edit like in what's that movie?
Minority Report.
Yes, can I do that? Can I wave my hands around?
Well, that really depends on software support. I don't see why you couldn't.
I'm gonna make some immediate demands of Avid.
Yeah.
Not that I'm in any position to demand things, but I'll try.
Why? Someone is complaining about something. Echo? Oh, no, that's a long time ago. I think it's all okay now. Sorry, yeah, I was being distracted by the people talking. Shouldn't pay attention to the people talking.
I'm looking at the webpage. It looks pretty. I don't know what it does yet. I'm sure there's some videos here if I click around somewhere.
Well, it works like a Kinect. It tracks the movements of your hands, and it translates that into commands on the computer. And we haven't seen exactly how this is going to work because they've got a demonstration, but that's just a YouTube video. Who knows what the fuck it's actually doing.
Yeah, it's complicated, though, because, I mean, the types of information it gives you aren't types that are easily translatable to normal things.
That's right. And so what they've done is they've put up a pre-order for retail release, which it looks like they reckon is going to be December, January, which probably means March, April, May, something like that, next year. But they've got developers bundles as well. So presumably they want to get people building the software, making it work really nicely. And people have been and seen demos and used it. And so, I mean, for a while I was a bit suspicious that it was just some kind of weird scam. One of those, you know, just one of those weird, stupid things where people have put too much time into a prank. Because the device is small and it seems inexpensive and it just seems to work too well because it's extraordinarily accurate. Like sub-millimeter accuracy in this kind of in this volume of space over the top of it, which is much more accurate than the Kinect. So anyway, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with it, and probably I should actually do a pre-order because I bet it's fun. But do I want to put my hands up? I don't think I want to. But this does solve one problem, and that is you don't want greasy fucking fingerprints all over your goddamn monitor. I mean, I'm photoshopping and video editing and just browsing and watching TV and movies and stuff. I don't want greasy fingerprints in front of my face. I want a beautiful, clean monitor. And so this maybe allows you to use touch and touch-ish gestures.
Okay, so I'm looking at the video now. I mean, if this is legit, if these things they're demonstrating are, are not faked, then it looks
pretty good.
It looks quite promising, doesn't it? Because it seems to be able to send essentially mouse gestures and multi-touch gestures, as well as presumably something more detailed than that in terms of three-dimensional stuff as well.
Yeah.
But that's quite cool.
Yeah.
Oh, you can play Angry Birds with it. I'm sold.
You know what I'm sold on? And it's lucky I'm sold on it. I was just going to move on.
Okay, sorry. The video's just finished, so I can move on now. I'm released from my whatever that was.
Something I'm sold on, and it's lucky that I'm sold on it because I've already paid, is Auckland's Art Gallery. This article doesn't have the figure. I think it cost $170 million to do the renovation.
Yeah.
But basically that involved dismantling the whole friggin' building, taking all the bricks out and, I guess, numbering them and then putting it all back up with kind of new bits, new pretty bits. And I don't know if you've been in there. I don't know if that's a very kid-friendly thing. But maybe when they're a bit older, you'll be able to take them there.
Yeah, I haven't been to the Art Gallery for bloody ages.
It is lovely. It is so nice in there. And I think aside from keeping the crazy kid away from touching the stuff, I think it actually probably is not entirely unchild-friendly because there is some kinetic stuff, like giant inflatable flowers in the huge atrium entryway, which might be quite enthralling for a small child.
Yeah.
But it's just it's a beautiful layout. It's a lovely collection. I went in again on the weekend, and that was months after the previous visit, which is shortly after it reopened. Everything looked exactly the same, which I found a little bit disappointing because I know their collection is much larger than what they can have on display, so it's a shame they don't cycle it through just a little bit more. But it's lovely being able to walk, go and look at some actual goldies. You don't need to just talk about them or look at them on the internet. Well, art is something that there was actually a reference to this on a recent episode of Finder. It's like the difference between beating it to pornography and having sex. Seeing it in real life face to face versus seeing it on a little screen. There is some comparison, but seeing it is better. And it's all there, a free entry. You can even take photos if you want.
It's quite good. I was just thinking about it. I mean, I've taken, like, Harrison, who's the oldest, seven.
Yeah.
He quite likes the museum.
Yeah.
The middle child, who's, what is he, 3 and a half now, I guess.
Yeah, the crazy one.
The last time we went to the museum, he wasn't as interested, but still sort of enjoyed some of it.
Yeah.
And obviously, little children don't really, babies don't care. But the only problem with taking kids to that sort of thing is you can't go at your pace.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's a bad thing, especially if it doesn't cost anything to go there. You can go through at kid pace occasionally.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I might try that. Add it to the list of things to investigate.
If Harrison, I guess he's quite a lot older, so there's more of that thoughtfulness there. Can you send the other ones off to wherever and take him through? Because I'm sure he'd like
the dungeon.
I don't know where you put them.
I don't know either. Actually,
I guessed it was probably something like a dungeon.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I mean, it'll be worth an experiment sometime. Mm.
Anyway,
there and see how that goes, and then
the reason I mention it now rather than when it opened it is that they've won a New Zealand's Top Architecture Award.
Oh, cool!
And you can see why, because the entryway there are these sort of canopies like a palm, like a Nikau palm or something, but it's all made of. Rimu, I think it's Rimu, right. And it's just absolutely beautiful. really lovely, and the place is nice, and the docents are nice, and I think it's cool that they've caught up and they allow photography. There's only one small part of the collection that you can't take photos of the normal collection that you can't take photos of. There's some of the Māori stuff, which is, you know, for you know, other reasons, not copyright reasons, cultural reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's lovely. I think everyone should go to the gallery. Oh, and if you're not in Auckland, go to...
Damage the artworks, which I think is a lot of shit.
Yeah. I don't think you need to use a flash in there anyway. No. It's not exactly dumb. But, I mean, everywhere I've been... now, in Tokyo, I went to... I can't even remember what the gallery was called. But there you needed to have a special sticker to say that, you know, you'd had the rules explained. And there were paintings around the place which you couldn't take a photo of, and there was just a little label next to each of those, and aside from that you could just have at it, and that was brilliant, and I knew that wasn't the way it was here. But then in, I think maybe even at Sydney Art Gallery you can take photos, not of the Aboriginal stuff, same as the rule here with the Māori stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
But aside from that you can just take photos, and so it was weird that we were behind on that, but now we're not. Congratulations, New Zealand.
All right, so art gallery, pretty nice collection. You can take photos.
Yep, and so wherever you are, if you haven't been to your city's gallery lately, I think you probably should. Take your time. Just give it a little bit longer, a little bit longer than maybe you normally would. I'm not one of these people that stands for a long time in front of each one. I think you can pick out most of what you're going to from a glance at many of them. But sometimes, every now and then, there's something that will absolutely, it'll catch your eye. And you have to have really inspect. And you can't do it on the internet. Guess what?
What?
Texter not responsible for Textee's car accident, rules judge. So
no, I think that sounds fair.
Yeah. So Kyle Best... and I don't even know where in the States. He mowed down a couple of people on a motorcycle because he was texting while driving.
Yeah.
And the couple on the motorcycle then sued his girlfriend for sending texts to him while he was driving.
I see.
How the fuck has it got anything to do with her? Their argument was that while she wasn't physically present, she was electronically present.
Yeah, no.
But I don't think you can sue a passenger. In a
car talking to him.
Yeah.
I don't think. But let's not delve too much into who Americans sue and why, because it just gets mind-numbing. And
it's a long list.
Yeah, angry-making.
Yeah, very long list. I'll show this into the down in there.
What else is on your list? What
I've got a bunch of stories, but I mean, I'm just blasting through them. I quite like just talking rather than.
I got a thing.
Yeah.
The Listener Live, which I actually quite enjoy. Toby Manhire, I think, writes it. Little column in the Listener on the Listener website, gets updated quite often, online only, often real time Twitter following stuff. After the most recent changes to Kim.com's bail, which now mean that he isn't being electronically monitored anymore and can move back into the Crisco mansion.
Yeah.
He decided it was too hard to keep track of all the different changes, so he made a timeline of all the things that had happened. So there you go. So look, the indictment was filed on January the 5th in the States. He was arrested on January the 20th. On the 25th, he was denied bail on the 25th of January. On February the 3rd, he was his appeal for bail was denied. On February the 26th, he was granted bail with conditions including electronic monitoring, no internet access, no staying away from helicopters. March the 1st, he gave a TV interview for Campbell Live. April the 2nd, his bail conditions relaxed, allowing him to go to a recording studio and access the internet and a swimming pool. April 27th, there was the whole John Banks thing. That was fun. May 23rd, was that... did we talk about the his digital files being taken by the FBI?
I don't think so. I think we were too busy talking about 48 Hours.
Oh, man.
Anyway, who can blame us?
So that happened. The FBI took a whole lot of stuff outside the country, apparently without permission or possibly even against court orders. And May the 29th, most recently, he is now allowed back in his mansion and has had the electronic monitoring finished.
All I can say is it was a huge relief when he was allowed to go back into the studio and finish recording his album, because it would be a terrible waste to humanity if his art couldn't be shared.
Did you hear the John Banks? Why haven't we played that on the show, aside from the fact maybe it's copyright infringement upon copyright infringement, but the John Banks song he did?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so great.
Yeah, and it's got like lots of TV3 samples and so on, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's good stuff. No, I haven't played it. If you can send it to me, I guess we can put it up.
It's probably on the internet somewhere.
But I guess the thing is that .com is not a hero. He's just some fucking dickhead who has been he's been a dodgy motherfucker in the past. He's been a dickhead in the past. I mean, if you've ever seen him do his Kimball stuff, his driving too fast and shit and the Gumball rally and all that, he's a dickhead. He's an overgrown child. But I mean, a lot of us, I think, probably aren't.
Well, apparently a lot of that stuff is quite old. He's not that person anymore. But yeah. I mean, the other thing is, I don't think most of us are particularly big fans of Kim.com as such, but more fans interested in how he's being, possibly you could say, screwed over, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, I still find the whole thing fascinating. I can't help but pay attention to almost anything about it.
Beep, beep. What was that? Yeah, dishwasher?
It's my wife, Melanie, is
making cookies.
Using the oven, the stove, she's lit the gas thing. So she's either cooking or she's... I know, so she's cooking. She's probably not trying to gas us.
Well, I hope she hasn't been drinking, because, you know, a lot of fires are started that way by people coming home drunk, deciding to have a fry-up, and then they start a fire and then maybe they die. Maybe they just, you know, spoil the kitchen. Maybe they burn down their whole house. Maybe they kill the whole family. But then, you know, often the fire service will catch wind of that. They'll receive a phone call or someone will spot it, and they'll come along and they'll save the day.
Heroes they are.
And this chap... who rescued a toddler from I don't even know where. What city was it in?
I don't know. I wasn't reading the story.
The guy's name is Chalmers, Dean Chalmers, and he's from the Invercargill Fire Department. And he rescued this three-year-old boy from the inferno. And he said, I'm no hero. I'm no hero. Yeah, he's fucking – that's true too, actually. He is not a hero. He was doing his job. Part of being a hero is you have to be frightened while you're working. A firefighter's job is to go into buildings and get people out if they need it. That's the job.
Their job inherently is heroic, though.
Is that right, though?
I think so.
Because there are things where if it's not your job and you do it, that's pretty fucking heroic. Like if you manage to take down a bunch of soldiers somehow by... you know, running around yippee-ki-yaying or who knows what. That's awesome. You are a hero. But if you're a fucking soldier yourself, you're just fighting. You're not being a hero. You're shooting. You're doing your fucking job. This guy, not
okay. I get it, but I still think you can be in a job that is like that and still take heroic actions.
Yes, I suppose that's probably true, but I don't believe that in this case he was afraid. And I think that my benchmark is that you have to be afraid and do it anyway.
All right.
And I don't believe he would have been afraid. It was just another fire.
Good. Well, anyway, he saved a child. Yay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's cool. That's cool. But he's definitely not a hero. So shut up about it. Move on, everybody. Local man does his fucking job. The end. Thank you. Congratulations to him, though. I mean, and good for him for saving the kid. He did his job well that day.
Excellent.
He can keep it. You know what's not doing the job well? Have you got any stories?
No, none.
Fuck.
Oh, well, no, hang on. I'd had one other thing. What was the other thing I had on there? Oh, it's just a video.
Oh, well, you can save it up, because I've just been asked a question. Was that Tauranga dude a hero? I don't know.
Which what?
I don't know who that is from the chat room. I don't know who that is you're talking about. Can you give me more information?
Someone. Tauranga dude.
Bay of Plenty times. Right. Oh, man lifts 1.5 ton car. off mate. Well, first of all, no, he didn't. He lifted the light end of a car. He didn't even lift the engine end. You're never going to lift more than half of it.
30 minutes.
Because you're not going to lift the whole thing at once. He's
kind of leveraging it. He's shifting the weight.
Exactly. I've lifted and moved a car by bouncing and sliding and so on. Not a 1.5-ton dirty old Mercedes-Benz. Is he a hero? I don't think he was in any danger. I think he's probably a good dude. I don't know. Is it heroic?
I don't have a problem with throwing around the term hero. I think we just scatter that around.
Now, the reason that this has been brought up is that he didn't see himself as a hero. And the way he described it was, when asked if he thought he was a hero, he said, nah, it's just another day in Tauranga. Good for him. That's an awesome line.
Yeah, that's just another day in Tauranga.
Yeah. And good for him, though, because, I mean, he did unsquash his mate. But did he crash the car in the first place? I'm not going to read the whole article. I saw the headline earlier, but let's see. Someone had been hit by... So Josh was hit by the car, flipped in the air, and then run over. And then the car hits a tree. Doesn't say why the car was moving. Because, you know, if this guy, if Mr. Tawara... If Mr. Tawara had been driving and he crashed the car into this poor fucking dude, then no, obviously he's not a hero. But, I mean, he said himself already, didn't he? Said himself already. Am I going to argue with Miss Dagg, I'm asked. Yep. Yeah, I'll be happy to. Was he in any danger? Maybe being in danger is it necessary to be in danger to be heroic? I guess, I mean, the thing is that you can be the opposite of a hero. I don't mean an anti-hero. You can be a fucking scumbag by failing to do something if it's not dangerous and it will save someone. So, for instance, if you just dither around while a child dies in a pool and all you had to do was grab the fucking child, that's the opposite of heroic. It's not dangerous to grab that child, but is it heroic? No, it's just decent.
All right, can I propose then an alternative definition of hero?
Yeah.
It's a person who goes beyond the norm. So yeah. if you had 10 people standing around that car pinned on a guy and he was the only guy who decided that it was a good idea to lift the car up, then that makes him a hero.
Yeah.
And you know. Yeah.
I think I'm going
with that. I don't think danger is important necessarily.
I think if you put yourself into harm's way, then that increases that hero quotient of an action.
I think driving to work each day is a fairly heroic action.
God, no.
I'm in harm's way. Have you seen the...
Driving to work each day is completely ordinary
behaviour. On the Northwestern Motorway, bro.
So Kevin Long in the chat room suggests that it's illegal to be the dickhead bystander. He thinks that New Zealand has a good Samaritan law, which, by the way, that's racist. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure we don't either. And I would not be in favour of anything like that. People need to choose when to act. You can't legislate decency, I don't think.
No, and also it's really unfair to...
Samaritans?
It's really unfair to try and judge the reasonableness of an action afterward. You know, if someone didn't lift the car, for example, or whatever, and then afterwards we all sit around in a courtroom and try and decide whether it was reasonable to not do that, I don't think that's...
Are you a bad or / ordinary Samaritan if you don't go into the burning house to save the child? No, you're not. Unless you're a fireman.
and your commanding officer just told you to.
And you're wearing a fucking jacket and a respirator, and you've been trained.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, sometimes it's hard to get past. Is it called something like the bystander effect, where it's harder to act if there's a lot of people and you don't see anyone else moving? I think that we should all make it our life's mission to be the person that acts, though.
Yes.
I say I'm a hero, putting myself in harm's way, making this podcast every week.
Yes, very heroic.
I don't have a special jacket or any kind of training.
I've got a reflective vest.
Yeah, I saw that in your short. Is that the one you wore in your short?
Yes. Well, no, that's not mine, actually. I stole that from someone else.
Congratulations, by the way. I don't think I'd seen yours when we last spoke.
No,
that was Tuesday, and we watched on...
Either of us's.
I liked yours a great deal. I thought that the writing was excellent, and I thought the... that your actors, Andy Conlon and Tama Boyle.
And Campbell Cooley.
Yeah, I don't know him, so I can never remember his name. Fucking brilliant. Such good performances.
Yes, they were really on key this year. And you kept it very much under your hat last week when we spoke. But yep. You did a puppet film.
Yeah, it certainly did.
That was your sneaky little secret.
Yeah.
Puppets.
Didn't tell anyone.
Didn't tell anyone. No one knew. Very secret.
Yep.
And I thought it came out very well.
Thank you.
Even though clearly there were bits missing, but the bits that were missing didn't make the bits that were there not into a story.
Yeah, yeah. No, we...
It just made it a much less fleshed out story.
As we discussed on the show last week, I did quite badly run out of time and had to gut my thing. But I'm actually, I'm not unhappy. It's 1 minute and 53 seconds long, which is a pretty good length.
Yeah.
I reckon. It's a pretty good length. In and out. Someone described it as more of a skit than a film, but get fucked, it's 48 hours, what do you want? Lots of them are skits.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of them are skits, and they're unpleasantly long ones at that.
Yeah, yeah. And if people didn't like mine, it was over very quickly.
Yeah.
It's the same approach I take to sex.
Excellent. I was wondering if that was just going to be left implied, or if you were going to say it outright, and you just brought it right out there.
Habit of a lifetime.
I understand.
I don't like to imply. So a pro tip, according to techcrunch.com, and they should know about pro tips, if anyone else does. Pro tip, this is from Matt Burns.
All right, I'm listening.
Do not post a pic of a pile of cash to Facebook. As tempting as it might seem, don't upload a photo of a bunch of cash to Facebook, because it's dumb. But that's what one 17-year-old Australian girl did, only to have two robbers armed with a knife and a club show up at her house.
It's never been a problem I've faced, but fair enough.
So she was helping her grandmother count her whatever cash she had on hand. I don't know if it was her life savings or if it was just a big pile of ping. Maybe her grandmother's a drug dealer. It is Australia we're talking about, after all. I think that grandmothers should keep their money in the bank, though, so hopefully it wasn't her life savings. Anyway, she took a photo and uploaded it, and that got spread around for whatever reason, because her friends liked it, I guess.
Yep.
And then these fucking thugs, I guess figuring out where she was from based on her profile on Facebook, turn up to her house. But the thing is, she wasn't at her house. She was at her grandmother's house. So the long and the short of it is that the grandmother didn't get robbed. But her mother got pretty fucking frightened by the whole thing. What a numbnuts. But these people stole, I guess whatever cash the mother had on hand. And the BBC described it as a small amount of cash and a small number of personal objects. So I can only interpret that as meaning they stole her vibrator or something.
That's probably.
Because what's a more personal object than that?
None that I'm going to.
They stole her diaphragm.
That's more personal. Well done.
They stole her vacuum cleaner and underpants.
All right, stop.
Fair enough. Let this be a lesson to everyone. Matt Burns goes on to say, there is such a thing as sharing too much, as tempting as it might be to show off your new BMW, flat-screen TV, or even puppy. Sharing this information on Facebook is essentially akin to posting the same information on your grocery store's public bulletin board. But for the love of Mark Zuckerberg, do not share a picture of a pile of cash, especially if said pile isn't even your money. No, fuck you, Matt. Actually, the person who made the mistake here was these fucking thugs, these robbers. You are essentially blaming the victim. Now, the girl was dressed in a way that asked for it.
Yes, absolutely.
In these photos, presumably. But it's not her fault, which it kind of is her fault that the robbers knew where to go. Wrong place, but, you know, they gave them the idea. But she's the victim here. Her mother is actually the victim. But you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying.
It's interesting because
blame the fucking criminals, not the naive.
It's like there's all the you know, there's all those signs in the car parks that say, you know, remove all valuables from your car. Car thieves operating in this area. I'm like, if there's car thieves operating in this area, fucking stop them.
Yeah. If you know they're doing that, why don't you grab them next time? You've got cameras. You've got people. Stop the thieves.
The one in the Civic car park has a picture of a stick figure thief running away with a briefcase with a dollar sign on the side of it. Which might be the standard picture, actually. I'm not sure who would... I mean, okay, if you leave a briefcase in your car that has a dollar sign on the side of it, you deserve everything that comes to you.
I might design... maybe I should design a discourse official merch satchel, which is just covered in dollar signs.
Yeah. Or you can have, like, well, it could just be like a cloth sack that has loot written on, on the side of it.
Loot. Not for theft.
I always thought that was a very poor idea, dressing up in like a prison outfit and running around with a sack with loot written on it. I mean, the Beagle Brothers.
Hey, Luke.
Idea of it being inconspicuous.
I don't remember how I looked
at a bunch of the stories about that particular story, and none of them had the photo of the pile of cash, which is very disappointing.
It's terribly disappointing.
And it's the internet. It was posted on the internet. How can it not exist anymore?
Is this going to work? Because I've decided I have to play this thing. I don't know if it's
okay.
Going to work. Let's see if it works. Start playing. Why isn't it playing?
Go.
Yeah, go. And go. And
play.
Go. And whenever you're ready. What? That doesn't sound right.
No, this isn't awesome.
What is that bullshit? This is not the theme music. It's the theme music from a fucking computer game. A goddamn Nintendo game from the friggin' 1980s. That's so annoying.
That can't be the theme song from a Nintendo game. It didn't sound nearly 8-bit enough.
Well, maybe they were just really good coders. They figured out some tricky stuff. Doesn't really. I mean, it's familiar, but it's not right.
Is this Lucky Luke?
Yeah, I'm having another go.
See, it was a long time. I haven't watched it.
There we go.
Folks all call him Lucky Luke, hero of the West, number one cowboy, never second best. Bad guys run for cover when he rides town. He doesn't give a shoot, he can ride him too. He's the fastest gun around.
Yeah, apparently it keeps going. Do you remember what the dog was called?
No.
Bushwhack.
I remember very little of Lucky Luke. I know I watched it. I remember having watched it, but I don't remember any of the details of it.
Mm.
I don't remember what the bad guy was called. I assume there was a bad guy. There was always a bad guy in those things.
The Daltons. That's why I mentioned that. Didn't you talk about the Daltons?
I was talking about the Beagle Boys or the Beagle Brothers or whatever they were.
Oh, right. That's from Disney.
Yeah.
But sure, what was the horse's name? Jolly Jumper.
There you go. Was it?
Apparently the dog's name wasn't Bushwhack. Apparently the dog's name was Rin Tin Plan. That doesn't seem right.
It's been an exciting trip down memory lane.
It's exciting for me. I remember I had a little vest when I was at primary school, a little Lucky Luke vest. I was a very happy little boy, actually.
Did you ever want to be the Milky Bar Kid? Do you remember when we were kids?
No.
45 minutes.
The Milky Bar Kid competition?
No.
I remember, at some point when I was a child, I read a story about a boy who ended up being in like a chocolate television ad, and he got probably money as well. I don't remember whether money was mentioned in the story, but as his payment, he received like a year's supply of this chocolate or something, and I thought that was then the greatest thing you could possibly do.
That's a fucking rip-off. Pay your actor.
Well, I'm sure he got paid as well, but, that wasn't relevant to a child's interests. I don't care about money when I'm 4 or whatever that was.
Yeah, or now.
What I care about is an infinite supply of chocolate.
Yeah, it's not infinite.
It seemed infinite. The picture I remember from the book was like 2 big cardboard boxes full of chocolate bars, which still isn't infinite.
Imagine how long it would take you to finish that if you had it. You'd be done in a month.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a different interpretation of infinite than the one I'm familiar with. I'm still hurting about being wrong. I remember the dog's name as being Bushwhack. I'm fucking gutted.
There is always the possibility that something was changed. What was the dog? It's the possibility that something was changed because...
That might have been from the book, maybe.
Also in the 80s, I'm sure in the 80s more TV shows were slightly modified for New Zealand markets than they are now, which is none of them now. I mean, because obviously you remember Sesame Street having Māori words instead of Spanish words, right?
No, I was right! Ah, Rantan Plan. And n.wikipedia.org/wiki/Rantan Plan. Known as Bushwhack in the 1983 Hanna-Barbera animated Lucky Luke television series. I am so relieved right now. So I wonder what that means the horse was called in the show.
Something like Jolly Jumper, I think, but it doesn't sound right.
I loved this show.
Melanie, what was the horse in Lucky Luke called?
Jolly Jump is a terrible name.
No, we found on the internet it says Jolly Jumper, but we're not sure if we believe that was what it was called. No, she agrees that Jolly Jumper doesn't sound right. She hasn't got an alternative. So there you go. Consultation from the outside. What does the chat room say? Who cares?
I don't think they... I think they've all gone.
If you're listening now to this show and you know what the horse in Lucky Luke was called in the TV show that was on in the early 80s...
There's a prize. The prize is gratitude.
Yeah, then just tell us. Email us, tell us, or tweet us, or whatever. We'll fill out there's a feedback form on the internet site. But if it was Jolly Jumper, don't tell us because we want to believe that it was something else.
There's a credit on the IMDb listing for Lucky Luke 1984, and that is Roger Carroll, Jumper.
Jumper, okay.
Jumper.
666 is another name we've been provided from the internet somewhere.
However, it does say Jumper / Ellipsis.
Oh, no, it's so confusing. There you go. Melanie's offering that the TV series had 666 and the comic book was Jolly Jumper.
That doesn't sound right either, though, does it?
Look on YouTube. This can be resolved, but not now. Now
I've just been reliably informed that we're beating a dead horse, and we're not sure what its name is.
No,
I think that's not right. I'm delving into my childhood, my very happy memories of Lucky Luke. Also, Asterix.
My son's just started reading Tintin books.
Racist.
That's quite exciting.
Very racist. You know the Belgians say Tintin? They don't say Tintin, they say Tintin. Which, as far as I'm concerned, is from Star Wars. They're getting it completely wrong.
Well, did you say that was the Belgians?
Yeah.
What would they know? Nothing, that's what.
How to try and defend the French from the Nazis and fail? I've been following the World War II tweets, Twitter thing, the real time it happened.
The Titanic one. I haven't followed the World War II one.
Well, it's been going a lot longer than the Titanic thing did, I tell you what.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I think we're in...
Went longer.
We might be in 1940 now.
Good God, you've got a long time to go.
Yeah, seriously. But it's been really interesting having it go through, the progression of the Nazis moving, up in the north.
The beginning?
Yes. Yeah.
So So you've been following it since... When did it start?
Well...
Did it start the first aggressions?
Some of my first memories of it are actually the Russians trying to invade, Finland.
Yeah.
And being repelled and then finally making it in.
God, it'd be really fascinating to imagine what Twitter would be like, you know, and like the Reichstag fire and things like that. What would Twitter have made of that?
Imagine all those Japanese people going mad at the firebombing.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of people, all of the cities being laid waste. And then just when they think things can't possibly get worse, nukes.
Yeah, they definitely knew to make it worse.
Those cities were just absolutely destroyed long before the Americans dropped the bombs.
You couldn't have a world war now with...
Too much with commerce.
There's commerce, but there's communication as well. Like,
yeah.
You know, would the people of New Zealand stand for, you know, a war of that scale when they can see and hear directly from the people who are being affected?
I don't think so.
I can't imagine.
When your car stops working and the lights are only on three nights a week, you know, sometimes you might decide that you would like your army to go and take some more oil. You know, and that's probably the next time we're going to have a really massive one when things start to get really tight. It's expensive in terms of energy having a war, though. Great way to burn up the last oil, actually.
Yeah, and various precious metals.
Yeah, my prediction is that the last petrol that we use will be thrown in a Molotov cocktail.
Yeah. Who said it was David Farrow was saying that he thought 2.5 years for Tamaiti and the other guy whose name I momentarily forget for their part in the Uruwera, whatever it was appropriate.
Yeah.
And I asked him whether he thought it was, given that no one was threatened, no one was harmed, no one was killed. And he said that having Molotov cocktails was out of the norm, and that was possibly part of the justification.
I agree.
I knew people in high school who had Molotov cocktails.
Yeah, and they shouldn't have, but they were children and they weren't. They didn't even give any signs of being a guerrilla militia.
No. Well,
they didn't have unlicensed shotguns and rifles all around the place, did they?
No, I mean, I don't know. Like the whole trial thing, I don't know enough about. I see the outrage, maybe is the right word.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of that, and I take some of it at face value, but I also kind of ignore some of it because I know, you know, I don't know. I never read the whole story. And there's on occasions when I've seen internet outrage about certain subjects and looked into it, I often find that the outraged people seem substantially misinformed.
Yeah. Politically marginalised people with guns scare me quite a bit.
Yeah.
I've never thought that he was particularly dangerous because he always seemed like quite an effective protester, so it never seemed like he needed to, you know, like he had feel a need to take things any further. But the thing is, Tūhoe really have been hard done by. They didn't sign the Treaty of Waitangi. Their lands were stolen from them.
Yeah.
Literally stolen from them, you know, at the end of a musket. And so, you know, they have a right to be upset. And it's very hard to be listened to in New Zealand. We're quite racist about that stuff. I think, you know, maybe the fat redneck dickheads are afraid that they're going to be pushed off their land or something. But I mean, there's no prospect of that. I think no one could do a worse job of taking care of, you know, some of the more fragile parts of our country. So maybe why not let people take care of, you know, our waterways who don't have a financial interest in destroying them? That might work all right.
Yes. I mean, yeah, we fuck things up pretty well.
Yeah. We fuck things up real good. Dairy farms fuck things up real good. Local councils fuck things up pretty good. Central government fucks things up like you would never believe. And is responsible ultimately for all the rest of that. We should be ashamed of the way we've treated a lot of our country. Really ashamed. I think we imagine that we're still clean because the country is, you know, for a small country, it's big. You know, we're bigger than England, and yet we have a population that's like 15th, something like that. So, you know, we've got a relatively large amount of space, but if you go and look at a bunch of our streams and lakes around the country, they are fucked. You wouldn't let your kids swim in them. And that's not the experience that even I had when I was a child. So, you know, that in the early 80s, I guess. It seems like probably a long time ago for some people, but it's not a long time ago. And I could safely swim in rivers that I think are probably a bit dirty now. That you probably can still swim in, but maybe not all the time. Maybe not right after a rain. And that's because we've got too many fucking cows. And the reason we've got that is that we focus too much on primary products, and we don't.
Actually, when did that was a question I had. When did the Ministry of whatever it was become the Ministry of Primary Industry?
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That was, I hadn't heard of it until recently, and I was like, wait, the Ministry of Primary Industry, what's that? And I was like, oh, okay, it's the people who look after the farming.
Yeah. I don't know.
And stuff.
Ministry of Primary Industry. It was called MAF, right? And now it's changed to the Department of Primary Industries.
I don't even know if it is that one or not. So I can't keep track.
Oh, that's the Australian one. Every government
seems to rename
large. MPI, the merger of the Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries. No, Agriculture and Forestry and the Ministry of Fisheries and the New Zealand Food Safety Authority. This actually, I think, is very new then. I think this must be last term, maybe.
Mm. Yeah, because it's weird anyway. Okay, so primary industries then are fishing, farming, and forestry.
Yep.
Oh, what was the other one? No, food safety. That's related to those.
Yeah.
Sure, weird. Okay, well, there you go.
All that stuff, forestry in particular, it seems quite dumb. Because what we do is we export bits of wood. We don't export tables. We export bits of wood. You know, I mean, lumber. Not even lumber, like logs. It seems insane to me. Seems insane. We should be the IKEA, but from New Zealand, and not made of cardboard, but made of real wood. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Maybe.
I mean, we can't get real IKEA, so we may as well make our own. Better than Target, though. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, Target's disappointing. I like Target, rubbish. But then everything seems so expensive for what it is.
The thing is, it seems expensive for what it is, and IKEA. Also...
If I go to IKEA, I'll freak out.
The thing is that the design... at Target is not particularly good. But I think the idea of IKEA is that you have designer furniture for cheap.
Oh, okay. The Ministry of Primary Industries became the Ministry of Primary Industries on the 30th of April 2012. So it's less than a month old. There you go.
I thought it was a little bit, I thought it was the previous term, but yeah.
The Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries, the Minister of Agriculture and Forestries and the Ministry of Fisheries merged on the 1st of July 2012. And then they became the Ministry of Primary Industries on the 30th of April 2012, July 2011, they merged. But this is bollocks. Bollocks.
We've
bollocks,
got a
bollocks,
winner.
Bollocks, bollocks, bollocks. It's all bollocks.
What's your auntie been talking about?
It's a question.
Nothing.
Oh, something auntie, I would like to mention something. Everyone who, what was the question?
There was no question. Carry on.
Something about VPN?
No, Veep.
Oh, Veep. I think we've spoken about Veep already, haven't we?
We have, extensively.
Apple TV, the Apple TV 2, the second generation Apple TV, the little black one.
Yeah.
If you upgraded your iOS to 5. Whatever in order to make AirPlay work, which is what I did, you would have then discovered that the untethered jailbreak simply wasn't available. And as of about 3 or 4 days ago, it now is available. There's a link in the show notes. It's a FireCore season pass thing. So, you know, you've got to plug it into your computer and flash it, and then you'll be able to boot into Xbox Media Center or whatever.
That people manage to do this stuff.
Absolutely amazing, and I'm so grateful.
That there are people out there smart enough to do this, to reverse engineer this stuff and make it work.
Yeah.
Astonishing.
Yeah. Now, I was also going to mention...
why would you want to jailbreak your Apple TV?
Because you want weather reports on it.
Oh, okay, sure.
You want to play music from your network, which you have purchased legally from New Zealand music purchasing sites that are not in iTunes.
Okay.
One minute.
And for whatever reason, don't want to import it into iTunes?
Sure. No, totally.
I'm sure that there are a variety of reasons. Maybe you just like having a pretty interface.
Maybe.
Which maybe you get an Xbox Media Center. I was also going to talk a little bit about UFC, but I can't be bothered. Maybe we can mention that another time.
Oh, the fighting thing.
Yeah. Oh, boy, yeah, is it ever. Is it ever.
Okay.
I watched a girl fight, and not UFC, but Strikeforce, which is kind of a feeder, a smaller competition. And, God, armbar, that looked like it broke the woman's arm. It was absolutely incredible.
I'm so uninterested in people fighting.
Yeah, it's great. Anyway. Yeah, I love it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
well, that's good.
Hey, Dylan.
Yes, I love VPN.
Five.
DiscourseCoNZ/VPN.
Wow, that's expensive.
Thank you very much for listening once again. I always appreciate it, even on episodes like this where we talk about Lucky Luke for too long. Maybe rate and review the show on iTunes, and I'll see you next week. Goodbye, I love you.
You're listening to The Weekly Show on
Wisconsin.
Sorry.
All right, we're using that one.
'Cause it's so good, and you can just keep talking to the recording, you know, it would get really like I think it would go in tighter and tighter and tighter spirals.
Fair enough. I might just keep talking to myself.
I might just keep talking to myself.
All the 900 people who are listening to you.
Seven.
It's Thursday.
Seven people listen to this weird little conversation we've had at the end here that isn't really part of the show.
Yeah, no, the real audience doesn't come until Thursday, bro.
Yeah.
Wonder what
intro.
There we go.
The most flashy team intro I've ever
Now I can just double it all up.
Ever.
Flashiest team intro ever.
So good.
So good. So good.
You know,
Thursday.
It would get really, really weirdly, like, I think it would go in tighter and tighter and
900.
Fair enough. I might just keep talking to myself. I might just keep talking to myself.
I might just keep talking to myself.
Seven. It's Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah, no, the real audience doesn't come.
Flashiest intro ever.
Yeah.
Wonder what intro. There we go.
The most flashy team intro I've ever
Now I can just double it all
seen.
Up. Ever.
Tighter and tighter spirals.
Team intro ever.
So good.
So good. So good.
It's so good.
Thursday. It would get really, really weirdly, like, I think it would go in tighter and tighter
900.
Fair enough. I might just keep talking to myself.
Thursday.
I might just keep talking to myself.
Or
I might just keep talking to myself.
Seven.
I might just keep talking to myself.
Thursday.
The real audience.
Flashiest intro ever.
Intro ever.
Yeah.
What a one intro.
It's so good.
The most flashy team intro. I
now I can just double it all up.
Ever.
Tighter and tighter spirals. 900.
So good.
So good.
So good.
It's so good.
Thursday. Really weirdly. Like, I think it would go in tighter and tighter.
900. Spirals. Thursday. Thursday.
I might just keep talking to myself.
I might just keep talking to myself.
Thursday.
Best intro ever.
Flashiest intro ever.
Yeah. What a one intro.
It's so good. It's so good. Might just double it all up.
So good.
So good.
It's so good.
So good.
Really weirdly. I think it would go tighter and tighter. 900.
Spirals.
Thursday.
Thursday.
I might just keep talking to myself.
I might just keep talking to myself. I might just keep talking to myself.
Thursday.
Best intro ever. Thursday.
Flashiest intro ever.
Flashiest intro ever.
It's so good.
It's so good. So good.
Might just double it up.
Tighter and tighter spirals.
So good.
Spirals. Spirals.
Thursday.
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 Flashiest intro ever.
Thursday.
Flashiest intro ever.
Thursday. Flashiest intro ever.
It's so good. It's so good. Spirals.
Tighter and tighter spirals.
It's so good.
So good.
Spirals.
Spirals.
Thursday.
Thursday. Flashiest intro ever. Flashiest intro ever.
It's so good.
It's so good.
It's so good.
Spirals. Spirals.
Spirals.
It's so good. It's so good.
Spirals.
Spirals.
Thursday.
Thursday.
Flashiest intro ever.
Flashiest intro ever.
Flashiest intro ever.
Flashiest intro ever.
It's so good.
It's so good. It's so good.
Spirals. Spirals.
Spirals.
It's so good.
It's so good. It's so good.
Spirals.
Spirals.
Thursday.
Fleshiest intro ever.
Fleshiest intro ever.
Thursday.
It's so good.
It's so good. It's so good.
Spirals.
It's so good. It's so good. It's so good.
Spirals.
Spirals. Spirals.
Thursday.
Thursday. Fleshiest intro ever.
Thursday.
Thursday.
It's so good. It's so good.
It's so good.
Spirals.
Spirals.
It's so good. It's so good.
It's so good.
Spirals.
Spirals.
Thursday.
Thursday.
Fleshiest intro ever.
Fleshiest intro ever.
Thursday.
Thursday. Thursday.
It's so good.
It's so good.
Spirals.
Spirals. Spirals.
It's so good.
It's so good.
Spirals.
Spirals.
Spirals.